Good morning and welcome to Christ Central. My name is Owen. I get to serve as one of the pastors here. If you're joining us for the first time today, welcome to our church. I'm so glad that you're here. Or maybe today's the first time in a while. In that case, welcome back and welcome home. So we're currently in a sermon series called Spiritual Formation Practices. Now, spiritual formation practices are intentional and repeated exercises and rhythms by which we consciously open ourselves up to the transforming love and presence of God in Jesus. And the goal of this sermon series is not just to learn about spiritual formation practices, but more importantly, to actually do them so that we might be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what Jesus did, which is, in essence, to love God and to love people. Now, these are the nine classical spiritual formation practices that we're considering in this series: prayer, Sabbath, scripture, solitude, fasting, community, generosity, service, and witness through hospitality. And today, we're going to consider the practice of scripture. Now, I'm going to read from various portions of scripture about scripture today. And so for the sake of convenience and ease, let me just invite you to follow along with the screens for today. So people of God, this is the word of our God, and God speaks to us in the reading of his word. So please give it your careful attention. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Hebrews 4, verse 12, "The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." Colossians 3, verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom." Acts 17, verse 11, "They received the word with eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. So in our day and age, there's countless voices around us, right? News cycles, social media feeds, YouTube videos, podcasts, political sound bites and pieces from both the right and the left, workplace values, family traditions and expectations, peer pressure, and more. And all those voices, whether you know it or not, they're discipling you. They're forming you in one way or another. And for many of us, if we're honest, the Bible just feels like one voice among hundreds of voices competing for our attention. You know, we live in a time when the Bible is more accessible than ever before. We have Bible apps that can give us dozens of translations instantly. We even have audio Bibles that we can listen to while we drive and commute. And yet, isn't it true? It's never been easier to be distracted from the Bible, or to just skim the Bible, or to speed read the Bible. It's never been easier, frankly, to treat the Bible superficially and maybe even carelessly. But the Apostle Paul says to us in Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." What that means is that the word of God ought to be the loudest, the most consistent, the weightiest, and the most influential voice in your life as a follower of Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible is not just one voice among many voices. The Bible is the voice over all voices. So this morning, I want us as a church to consider the practice of Scripture. Now, let me say this from the jump. The goal of this sermon is not to have you feel guilty going home saying, "Oh, I need to try harder to read my Bible." That's not the goal of this sermon. The goal of this sermon is to have you to have your heart stirred by grace so that you say, "I want to meet Jesus more deeply in his word and to hear his voice." That's the motivation. That's the goal. So this sermon this morning will be structured around three questions. First, what is the practice of Scripture? Second, why do the practice of Scripture? And third, and very practically, how should we do the practice of Scripture? So first question, what is the practice of Scripture? Now, when we talk about the practice of Scripture, we're not talking about reading the Bible like we would read a book or the way we would read a news article. We're not talking about just reading to be informed. We're talking about engaging the Bible as a means of grace, or as the primary pathway that God has given to us for us to commune with Him, to hear His voice, and to be conformed into the image of Jesus, His Son. You see, the practice of Scripture is the regular, intentional, and repeated act of placing ourselves before the Word of God, reading it, meditating on it, listening to it, memorizing it, and most of all, responding to it with submission, submitting to it. You see, the Scriptures are the primary way that the Holy Spirit forms and shapes the redeemed people of God. The great theologian John Calvin wrote this: "The Holy Spirit is the true author of Scripture and uses it as the instrument to create faith, to shape holiness, and to bring the presence of Christ into our midst." I love that third part. The Holy Spirit uses the Scriptures to bring the presence of Christ into our midst. You see, the practice of Scripture is not just about being informed about the Scriptures. More importantly, it's about being transformed by the Scriptures. And the practice of Scripture is not an academic approach, just reading it to learn a few things. It's an active and relational approach to Scripture. You see, it's not just knowing about God, it's knowing God Himself. So how do you approach Scripture, not in an academic way, but in an active and relational way? Well, the historic church described this active and relational approach to Scripture, this practice called Lectio Divina, or sacred reading. And Lectio Divina comprises four movements, okay, four parts. The first movement is listening to God's voice in Scripture. Second movement is meditating on what God has revealed about Himself and about us. And the third movement is submitting ourselves to its authority. And the fourth movement is responding in prayer and faith, repentance, and obedience. You see, reading the Bible in this way, listening, meditating, submitting, and responding, is at the heart of the practice of Scripture. That's what it means to approach the Bible in an active and relational way. And by the way, the Bible is the only book you ought to read in this way. No other book on earth demands this kind of devotion and submission. Only the Bible deserves to be read in this active and relational way. Here's the second question. Why should we do the practice of Scripture? Why persist in reading the Word, especially during seasons of dryness or distraction, when you feel like, honestly, you're getting nothing out of it? It feels like a waste of time. Why keep on reading? Well, let me give you five reasons why we ought to practice Scripture, why we ought to keep showing up to read the Bible in this active and relational way. Here's the first reason: because God speaks in and through Scripture. Hebrews chapter 1 says, long ago God spoke by the prophets, but in these last days He has spoken to us in His Son. The world is noisy, but God is not silent. God speaks, and He speaks to us in and through His Word. The Holy Spirit takes the written word and He makes it the living voice of Jesus to His people. The late Dr. Tim Keller said this: if you want to hear God speak to you, then read the Bible out loud. That's how God speaks to us, to you, to me. Here's the second reason: because the Holy Spirit uses Scripture to bring eternal life and to sustain it. 1 Peter chapter 1 tells us that we were born again through the imperishable Word of God. The Holy Spirit uses Scripture to bring eternal life to us by showing us Jesus, the Savior of the world, the one who gives eternal life. And Jesus declared in Matthew chapter 4 that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Just as food nourishes our bodies, so the word of God nourishes our souls. Without it, we starve spiritually, but with it, we flourish spiritually. Third reason, because scripture shapes us. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Again, the reality is that we're all being discipled and shaped by something. Culture, media, advertising, family, friends, all the voices around us, they're trying to disciple us. They're trying to shape us. So the practice of scripture is really counter-formation. It's countering all the formation that's been happening in your life through the culture. You see, the Holy Spirit reshapes us into the image of Jesus by the word, so that we're conformed into the image of Christ and not into the image of our culture or even into the image of our family traditions. Fourth reason, because scripture reveals the will of God for human life. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You see, the word of God is not just revelation about who God is and what he has done. It's also instruction for how we ought to live as those who are created in the image of God, who live in the world that God created. We practice scripture because it shows us how life is meant to be lived, how human life functions best. You know, in a world of confusion, chaos, competing voices, in a world where people do whatever is right in their own eyes, the scripture offers truth that you can build your life upon. It offers clarity. It teaches us how we are to steward our bodies sexually. It teaches us how we're to manage our money. It teaches us how we are to raise our kids. It teaches us how we are to navigate suffering. God's word, the scriptures, reveals God's design for marriage, for community, for work, and for rest. And when we align our lives to the word of God, we experience peace and flourishing because we're living according to God's design for human life, which he created. So this past week, our staff went to IKEA and bought some furniture for my office renovation and refresh, and I'm really, really looking forward to assembling my new furniture. I'm finally going to have a couch in my office. But let me tell you what we're not going to do. We're not going to try to put the pieces together on our own. Just whatever we think, whatever we feel like, right? And we're not going to do it in the dark. Because if we did that, we would end up with furniture that's wobbly and dysfunctional, something that you can't really use. So what are we going to do? We're going to make sure the lights are on, and we're going to follow the instruction manual carefully. We're going to make sure the right piece is attached to the right piece and all the screws are going to be used. In other words, we're going to follow the instructions of the person who designed the furniture because that person knows how the furniture is supposed to be assembled. God is our maker. And God has designed human life to be assembled and lived a certain way in the world that he created to operate in a certain way. And the Bible is where he reveals his design for how we are to live, for how human life functions best. You see, the word is not meant to restrict us, it's meant to free us. The instructions and the commands in the word are not burdensome. They're blessings that show us the path to true human flourishing. Trying to live without the scriptures is like trying to assemble IKEA furniture in the dark without the instruction manual. It's just not going to go well for us. Finally, and most importantly, we practice scripture because it shows us Jesus. Jesus told the Pharisees in John chapter 5, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. Now, from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is one big unified story about Jesus. Jesus is the true and better Adam who obeyed where the first Adam failed. Jesus is the true and better Moses who leads us out of our slavery to sin and to Satan. Jesus is the true and better David who conquered our true enemies, sin, death, and hell. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. Jesus is the bread of life who satisfies our souls. Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for us as sheep. And Jesus is the light of the world that shines into our darkness and heals us. Every page of scripture shows us the glory, the goodness, the necessity of Jesus, the Savior of the world. And when you see Jesus in the Word, you don't just admire him, you adore him. You don't just gain principles for life, as important as they are, you gain a person. The person who gave you eternal life by giving up his life on the cross for you. And when you dwell on scripture, you meet with Jesus, you hear his voice, you see his heart, and you experience his presence and love. And as we experience Jesus, we worship him. And as we worship Jesus, we're transformed because we're transformed by the things that we worship. And every one of us, we're worshiping something or someone. The question is, who or what are you worshiping? C.S. Lewis once wrote, "We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us." Scripture lifts our eyes from the lesser joys of earthly things to the infinite joy that is found only in Jesus. So, third and final question, the practical question. So, how should we practice Scripture? Now, we're to practice Scripture both communally and individually. First, we practice Scripture communally when we gather together as God's people, as a church, on the Lord's Day to hear to listen to the preaching, the reading and the preaching of God's Word. And we also practice Scripture communally when we gather in small groups to study the Bible together in Bible study groups. As primary and as important as our communal practice of Scripture is, our individual practice of Scripture is just as important. You see, practicing Scripture alone is both a calling and an opportunity for every believer, not just for pastors, not just for people who go to seminary, but for every believer in Jesus Christ. You see, practicing Scripture is a rhythm that we find to be with God, whether it's every day or a couple of times a week or a few times a month. It's a rhythm and a practice of being in the Word to meet with God, to hear the voice of God. For those of you that want to begin and to incorporate this practice of Scripture into your life, let me give you now some practical guidance. And for those of you who are already doing this, but you're struggling with this a little bit, maybe this practical guidance can help you as well. And this guidance is based on five movements based upon Lectio Divina or sacred reading. Here's the first movement. Prepare your heart. Already that makes it different. How many of you prepare your heart when you pick up a book to read? You don't. But when you pick up this book, you prepare your heart. You slow down. You find a quiet and unhurried place free from distraction. And before you read, you pray. You ask the Holy Spirit to show you wondrous things in his word. You approach it prayerfully. You know, even 10 to 15 focused minutes is better than nothing, right? Consistency is better than intensity. And as you approach the word, remember the gospel. You're not reading scripture to earn God's favor. You're reading scripture to enjoy fellowship with your Abba Father who already loves you in Jesus. Second movement, read the passage slowly. Read it out loud if possible. Read slowly. There is no prize for reading fast, right? Take your time. Linger over the phrases. Pay attention to the repeated words or the themes or the imagery. When it comes to like reading scripture, reading slowly is better than reading quickly. And here's the third movement, and this is the most important movement. It's reflect deeply. Like a cow chewing cud. You can chew on Scripture, turning it over in your mind over and over and over again, squeezing the flavor and the life out of the Word until it nourishes your soul. And you can ask four questions to help you reflect deeply. And these are wonderful questions as you read Scripture. The first question is, what does this passage teach me about God, about His character, about His promises, about what He's done, what He's doing, what He will do? What does it teach me about God? Second question, what does it reveal about me, about my need, about my sins, my weaknesses, or maybe my dignity or my calling? What does it reveal about me? Third question, how does this text point me to Jesus, to His grace, His sufficiency, to His finished work on the cross, or to His final work of restoring all things when He comes again on the last day? And fourth question, how does this passage invite me to respond? Am I supposed to believe something? Am I supposed to repent of something? Am I supposed to obey something? Reflect deeply on the Word. And fourth, pray the Scriptures. Turn the words of God into the words of prayer. If the text reveals sin, then confess your sin. If the text reveals God's promises, then claim those promises and thank God for those promises. If the text reveals commands, then ask God for strength to obey those commands. If it reveals Jesus, then adore and worship Jesus. You can apply the Word immediately by praying the Word back to God. And if it will help you, this is where journals are handy. Get a journal and jot down your thoughts and your prayers. If it will help you reflect deeply on God's Word. And then fifth and lastly, abide and rest. Remember, meditating on God's Word is not so that you can check off a box, not that you can be productive. You might not be productive at all. It's about enjoying the presence of God. So enjoy the presence of God as you read His Word, the God who loves you, the God who is with you. Don't be in a rush. To rush off to whatever's next, linger, enjoy being still in the presence of God. And end your time with thanksgiving, saying, God, thank you for meeting with me, for speaking to me, for allowing me to experience your grace and your love yet again. And for those of you that want to get started in this practice, I have two final thoughts for you, two practical thoughts. First is start small. Maybe you can't study the Bible for 2 hours every day. That's okay. Very few people do. But maybe you can start with 15 minutes once a week. And then maybe you can bring that up to twice a week or gradually increase your time with God. You see, consistency is better than intensity. Better to meet with God for 15 minutes once a week than to just meet with God once a year for 3 hours, right? So consistency is better than intensity. And again, let me ask, just isn't it amazing how we can easily spend 20, 30 minutes scrolling social media or watching videos and reels? Time just flies by as we do that. I'm not asking you to add something to your already busy schedule. I'm just asking, could you repurpose 10, 15, maybe 20 minutes of the time that you're already spending on distraction and entertainment, repurpose that time to practice Scripture? Yes, this will take some self-control and some discipline, but it is so worth it. It's the better choice. It's a better portion. And let me just say this. 2 hours of vegging in front of Netflix or 15 minutes with God in His Word, one is a mess of pottage, one is your birthright. What will you choose? Second, start with the book of Psalms, or start with one of the Gospels where you'll get to read about the life and ministry of Jesus, or maybe start with one of the New Testament epistles like Ephesians or Philippians. And if you have a study Bible, maybe you can use a study Bible to give you some helpful context. And if you do not have a study Bible, let me recommend this one, the ESV Study Bible. You can get it on Amazon. It's readily available, and it's a great, great tool. Okay, so what's the takeaway? Let me conclude with this. The practice of Scripture is not for you to check off a box on your spiritual to-do list. It's not for you to say, oh, look at me, I did something really good today. I feel very spiritual. I feel like I love God today. No, that's not why you read scripture. It's about meeting the risen Lord Jesus in his word so that you can hear his voice through his word. Do you remember the story of Mary and Martha? Martha was busy running around doing a lot of good and important things. But what did Mary do? She sat at Jesus' feet and she listened to Jesus attentively. And Jesus commended Mary. She said, Mary chose the better portion. Whenever we sit down with the Bible, we, like Mary, are coming to the feet of Jesus. And we're listening attentively to his voice as he speaks to us in his word. Now, let me also be realistic and honest here. There will be days when reading scripture will feel hard. It's going to feel dry. You're going to like, what did I just read? This doesn't make any sense. It's going to feel like a waste of time. You feel like you're not getting anything out of it. And you'd rather do anything else but read scripture because it just feels like an exercise in futility. You will have those days. But today I want to say to you, don't lose heart. Press on. Keep showing up. And trust that God is at work. Even when it doesn't feel like it, even when it doesn't seem like it. Because I promise you, the word of God will not come back, will not go to you and come back to him empty. It will produce its good work in you. Trust him. Be patient. And lastly, remember this, when you open the Bible, you're not just opening a book, you're opening a door that takes you into the presence of Jesus. The one who loves you. The one who invites you to come to him, to abide in him, and to abide in his love. That's what you're doing when you open scripture. You're being ushered into the presence of Jesus, who is ready and excited to meet with you, to speak to you through his word. So church family, so far we've talked about three spiritual formation practices, right? Prayer, Sabbath, and now scripture. And this past week, as I was preparing this sermon, I couldn't help but daydream a little bit as your pastor. And I was thinking, God, I mean, what would it be like if our whole church family practiced prayer? Every day, we showed up to meet with God, morning, midday, and evening. What if our whole church family practiced Sabbath, where we stopped working one day a week so that we can not only rest our bodies, but delight ourselves in God and in his good gifts. People can like begin to enjoy Sabbath. One of the best things you can do on Sabbath is have a delicious meal with your family or your friends. That is a very God-honoring thing to do. Delight yourself in the gifts of God. And what if our church as a whole, we didn't just show up on Sundays to listen to the reading and the preaching of God's word, but every day or several times a week, we showed up to meet with God in his word, to be with Jesus and to hear his voice. I was just thinking, God, even if we were to just practice these three spiritual disciplines, what could happen to us individually, to us as a church? I'm convinced that two things would happen. We would experience the love and the presence of God, and we will be changed. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that honor God? Wouldn't that make us a blessing not only to one another, but to the watching world that's so desperate to see, is there another way to be human than what we see in the culture? A beautiful, other-centered way to be human. And wouldn't our own joy be made complete as Jesus promised? Oh, church, I think there is just so much blessing waiting for us. And all we have to do is come, take, and eat to our benefit, to our joy, to his glory. Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, thank you for these precious spiritual formation practices of prayer, of being with you, of Sabbath, of resting from our work so that we can rest in you and delight in you, the practice of scripture to meet with you in your word and to listen to you and to be transformed by the scriptures. Oh, Father, I pray that by your spirit you would use these practices to shape us, to form us into the beautiful image of Jesus, so that like Jesus, we would love you with all our hearts, minds, and souls, and that we would love others as we love ourselves. In his name we pray, amen.
Church, if you're able, could I ask you to rise as